for that reading. Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. I'd like to do a commentary on day 56. The Bible verse is from the book of Proverbs. It's chapter 28, verse 13, and it reads, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." That's Proverbs 28:13. You know, one of the things that we do in Bible for Food, as was said in the introduction, is that we read through the Bible every year. But we don't just merely read through the Bible. We come back and we look at a little portion of what we have read and actually spend some time going a little deeper into that portion. When people came in the Bible for Food at the beginning, I used to help them remember what do they do after, or what do they do in order to practice the Bible immersion. And I would use the acronym USE, U-S-E. USE is how we have found to practice Bible immersion. That while we are listening and reading, we U, underline. And once we have finished doing the whole reading and listening, we S, we select. And then after that, we E, we explore. And the suggested way to explore is to write the answer to one or two of the questions, which is, what does it bring to mind? You know, whatever it was that I underlined, what did it bring to mind? And what might God be saying to me? So when I underline and then select, and then the E for explore means that I'm going to look deeply at those things that I underlined, and then I am going to explore it through writing. One of the ways that I know I explore as well is to actually go and, if let's say that I underline the whole verse, which usually is not the case, but sometimes I do. But if I underline a whole verse, then I want to kind of pick out what I think are key words in that verse. And the neat thing that I have now is that there are so many different search engines out there that I can find, even though I never studied Greek or Hebrew. I can even find the Hebrew and of it. And as I look at the particular meanings I can of the words, it brings things to mind. And I can start writing from that standpoint. One of the things I do want to keep reiterating is how important the writing is. What the writing does for me, actually, is that it slows down my thinking. It makes me not be so much in a hurry. When I'm in a hurry, even, you know, Bible study hurry, I can miss out on some of the insights that God has in mind for me to see and find. But also when I write, I have a record of what I've done. And when I get into what I call amnesia, where I forget who I am. I lived much of my life on self-will. Me. What I thought and what I thought. And now I'm trying to learn to live as Paul has said in Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so when I can remember it's not about me anymore, not about what I think. It is the surrender to the Lord. Oh, one of the first things that happens is that I get peaceful. Because when I'm not running the show, the anxiety filters out of me. It just seeps out of my thinking. I realize that, guess what? I don't know, but God does know. And also, you heard me say this over and over again, but it was so significant what J. Vernon McGee said a long time ago. He said, don't let what you don't know stand in the way of what you do know. Well, I used to always, in my pride, try to figure out what I didn't know. I didn't want to be in a position where I didn't know, but, you know, when I remember that the Lord is the Lord of my life now, not Pat anymore, but the Lord, it frees up a lot of stuff. And I can say, oh boy, I have no idea, but I know my God loves me. This is what I do know. I know that God loves me. I know that He has saved me. I know that He is a director, and He will direct me to be an excellent servant for Him. He will equip me. And the main way that He equips me is through His Word. And this is why Bible immersing in the Word, being serious about the Word, is very, very important. Because there is so many untruth out there. Some of the untruth that is in the world is malicious. You know, people maliciously are putting things out in the world so that they can fool people and trick them, and somehow they feel that they are going to benefit. But some of the untruth is just people repeating some things that they have heard, and since they don't really have a standard, they don't have the Bible, it sounds good to them. And they repeat it, and then somebody else repeats it, and their children repeat it, and next thing you know, you have a whole culture repetition of things that do not line up with the Word of God. And if it does not line up with the Word of God, the Bible says this: there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And so we want to be people that what we believe in, what we are following, how we are walking, it all lines up with the Word of God. But if we neglect the Word of God, if we are not in the Word of God, we won't be able to see it. We might be following around like a little puppet just because it sounds good and we don't know. But doing immersing in the Word and looking at some of the verses that come from the Word and writing about it, thinking about it, and praying about it has done so much. It's helped me to grow up and to stop being the crybaby, you know, the mini baby that cries because life is not going the way that I wanted to go. Or, you know, or people are not behaving in the way that, you know, I would like for them to behave. But this proverb in 28:13 is a big one. It says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. That first word, I looked up that word conceal, and in Hebrew, it's a word that looks like it's pronounced Kasha, is K-A-S-A-H. And in the meaning, it says it means to cover, conceal, or keep something secret, or to obscure something from view, or refuse to acknowledge. And that's a biggie. Because if I'm concealing something, and at the same time I say that I am Christ, I belong to Jesus now, and I'm hiding something, I'm acting as if I can hide something from him, which is impossible. If I understand that he's God and nothing can be hidden from him. And so I don't want to hide anything from him. So if I'm trying to conceal something, right away that light bulb should go off in my mind and say, ah, is something wrong with this? Something wrong with this, because I have no need to hide anything from my Lord. The truth is that he loves me more than anyone or anybody. He is not going to turn me away. He won't. He won't let me go. He just will not let me go. And so I want to, when conceal comes in my mind, concealing, it's like, Father, please, I want to be blessed. And I look, you know, it showed also some of the places where that that Hebrew word was used. And in Psalm 32:1, it says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. That word covered means that, you know, it's not secret. My sins are not in secret anymore. They have been forgiven. I have no need to even want to hide from God, because he is all loving to me. He has covered all my offenses, and it shows his love for me. That's what Proverbs 10:12. Love covers all offenses. Psalm 85:2. You covered all their sins. He has, he's taken them away from me. And I have, you know, I'm so grateful for his forgiveness to me. And so that verse says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. It's almost like, duh, yeah. Why would I want to hide from the one who loves me so? The one who is directing my feet. And so if that thought comes into my mind and try to hide anything from the Lord, no, I want to do what it says in that second part. He who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Well, I want to confess my sins. Another way that I have heard about confession is that I want to agree with God about my wrongdoing. To verbally agree with God that this was, that's not right, you know. And I've shared before, you know, sometimes in my mind, I can't always, like somebody says, you cannot always control what comes into your mind. The only control we have is that, are we going to let it stay there or not? Well, sometimes where I have had some raunchy stuff come into my thinking, I think if I was honest and look in my day, every day, something raunchy that comes in. And the raunchiness can be just the old life that I used to live, meaning that I'm hateful, I'm acting hateful, I'm acting bitter, you know, I'm acting whatever. That's raunchy compared to, you know, a good guy, you know. And I just sometimes have to say to the Lord, oh, Father, you heard me. You heard what I thought. Oh, my goodness, please, Lord, take that away from me, please. That is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. So that Bible verse says that if I confess and I forsake, it means that I am just, I'm just wiping it off me. I want to abandon. I don't want anything to do with it. You know, I'm not trying to compromise anything about it. Own up to it and just say it is wrong. I don't want any part of it. Take it out of my life. Do you know I have the greatest blessing again? Because I feel the mercy of God. And that word mercy has that meaning of compassion, like a mother's affection, you know, and gracious kindness that I get from the Lord. And oh, and that is unbelievable. Just like I've said before, I have known no life like I have in this life in Christ. I haven't known a life like this. And every day I want to wake up and just feel a deep gratitude for this way of life. And a deep gratitude for God's word that reminds me of what I have. A lot of times, you know, people don't realize what they have and they until it's too late, when they have lost it. That's how much they have, you know, or they foolishly give it away. I think about in Genesis, where those twins, Jacob and Esau, and Esau was the oldest one, and yet he comes in one day really hungry. He doesn't care about his birthright. I'll give you my birthright. Just give me that pot of stew. Maybe he was one of us. I don't know. But we know when we don't realize the wonderful gift that we have, we just take it for granted. We really do. And I definitely know that was true for abstinence. You know, when they used to tell me in terms of abstinence, they will look at you and say, you know, right this moment, you're abstinent. Now, you have a choice. Are you going to keep that abstinence or are you going to throw it away? Because, and they would tell me, it's easier, regardless of how hard it may seem, it's actually easier to keep abstinent than to get abstinent. In other words, once I throw it away, it's going to be hard to get it back. It's going to be harder than the last time to get it back. And that hardness may not happen. You know, it might be, whoa, later up the alley, I'll see it. So if you're abstinent this moment, if you're not eating, you're abstinent right now. And think and ask the Lord, how can you maintain it? How can I maintain this abstinence for the rest of the day? And write down what he tells you to do. And call on the Holy Spirit, like we talk about in the beginning of the meeting. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given you his Spirit. You know, if you don't remember, go to 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, who you receive from the Lord? You're not your own. So rely on the Holy Spirit to help you maintain the abstinence that you have right now. If you're eating right now, stop eating. Take it out your mouth. And now you're abstinent. Now ask the Lord again, what do you need to do to maintain it in this next 24 hours? Write it down. And call on the Spirit to help you to do what you have written. You know, and to do that again and again. And to keep in mind, you are going to get tempted. But think about what we studied the other day in James. James 4:7. Submit yourself to the Lord. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Again, submit. Remember that promise you made to the Lord that you were not going to put anything or anybody before him. Remember that promise and submit to it again. You know, that promise was that he was going to be the tops in your life. Nobody or nothing was going to be bigger. So submit to that again. And you know, I don't even have to tell you, food is a biggie. It gets bigger than the Lord. But when you came to the Lord, remember that promise, that covenant you made with him. that no one or nothing was going to mean more to you than what he means to you. That's what that covenant was all about. And remember, and submit to that. And then it says, resist the devil. In other words, pick up that paper again and look at what God has taught you to do today, especially about the food he told you to do. Look at it again. Resist the devil. Do it. Just walk in it. And guess what? That devil is going to flee. But this is not heaven. We're not in heaven, so the devil's going to come back at a more opportune time, like he did with Jesus. But it's okay. The cycle still works. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. But let me pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught me how to sin less. And you have made it so that when I come before you, you will not see me as a sinner, but you will see me through your Son Jesus, because I belong to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I have no need to lie and cheat. I have no need to go to that false god of the food. You are bigger and better, and you love me so much. I'm grateful. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I pray. Amen.